See, I've been waiting. Waiting on that time. Feel me if you've been waiting on yours. That moment, it's close. It's close.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's alright. Just waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
And that time is now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fighters Block. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined here in the new Fortress of Swolitude with my co-host, Mr. Jesse Rivas. How you doing, Jesse?
Doing fantastic. It feels great to be live. I wasn't saying that I was bullshitting this podcast, but I was definitely phoning it in. And I'm glad that I'm actually here in person. And do I sound better? Does it sound clearer now? Can you hear me now?
You sound loud. I'm trying to move around the levels a little bit, but you're definitely loud and in charge. You were phoning it in IRL. You were literally on the phone with me as I was trying to make it happen and make it record. And now we're here in person, and it's the new era. I'm excited to be here in the new attitude era, Jesse.
Yes, yes.
Let's start things off on a somber, respectful note. Howard motherfucking Letterman died. He died in a pussy-eating accident. Shout-outs to a real one. Rest in peace, Howard Letterman. Jesse, I got an 8-4.
Jim! Man, I'm going
to
miss this guy. But, you know, I've heard many people say, who's going to replace Howard Letterman? There's not a job to replace. HBO is no longer in the boxing business. And to be honest, I feel like the reason for him to live was gone. He was battling cancer.
Jesus.
No, I mean, seriously, it's been said before. I mean, it's about as cliche as possible. But when people retire, when people stop working and having a purpose.
When they stop eating that pussy.
I mean, they pass away.
You're making it sound like the people who canceled HBO Boxing killed Howard Letterman, which is a Meltdown May hot take that I'm here for.
Freddie Roach said he would have been dead a long time ago if he didn't have Manny Pacquiao to train and fights to build up and excitement.
And to pay for his medicine. Yeah, that's like, but that's literally true. He has to spend a lot of money to stay alive. Money that little Filipino faggot hater brings in.
But Howard Letterman, I feel like Larry Merchant's going to be next. These guys have been around. Howard Letterman has
what been... the fuck? Wait, no, we're not taking like an official stance on a death pool here at the Fighters Block. This isn't. Listen, in the order, you know, I think these people are going to die on these days from these causes. I have the power of the second sight. I've seen into the future, and I can do a boxing pundit's die. After that, surprisingly, Max Kellerman gonna get fucking offed for an old rap beef.
That guy has really bad herpes.
Does he really? Oh yeah, no, yeah, his skin is not.
His
good.
Lips are always bumpy.
Listen, man, he was out there in the streets.
Yeah, I mean that rap career, he contracted a few things. But yeah, Howard Letterman.
It hits, but he also didn't have the bucks.
Yeah.
I was thinking, by the way, of writing a not related to fight sports, but I was, you know, I'm in a sketch thing. I do sketch work. I wanted to write a sketch where it was like kids who found like that board game Jumanji. You remember the movie Jumanji? But it was all stuff like you've been Me Too'd and you'd caught HIV. Like it wasn't anything fun. It was like, yeah, the bug you caught was HIV. You now have AIDS. You're super fun. It's just like a fucking little kid. Rest in peace, Howard Letterman. Who'd you say is next up?
I think Larry Merchant.
Larry Merchant Death Watch 2019. When's it going to happen? Right into the show. Let's figure out if, you know, Merchant has any time left on the show.
I promise you this. If Wilder was fighting Joshua this weekend, Howard Letterman on HBO, Howard Letterman would be alive for that fight.
He would. Jesse, let's move into the recaps a little bit. I know you touched on Wilder. We'll talk about him later. You know, we've already talked about Wilder longer than that fight's going to last. So let's talk about some of these recaps. This was a wild weekend of fighting, I felt like. I've heard some people like kind of shit on it. I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff to talk about. Let's talk about the boxing because let's start local. Let's eat local. Jesse, with Jarrett Hurd. When did you know Jarrett Hurd was going to lose this fight?
I predicted that this was going to be a 50-50 fight.
You did?
Yeah. We didn't have a podcast
last week. We didn't have a podcast
last week,
but I knew you were always very high on J-Rock.
I've been talking about J-Rock Williams, I think, since the beginning of this podcast. I actually chose him to beat Charlo.
You did. And that fight did not go his way.
Yeah.
But no. I don't think he would have beaten Hurd without the loss to Charlo. He has come back a lot stronger, yeah. I will say.
And he made changes in his camp.
Yeah.
One of the things that he knew going into the Charlo fight is that he had all the skills to win. He didn't have the physical to win. Mm-hmm. He was getting bullied by the bigger fighter, and overall, he couldn't match punch for punch.
He got cucked.
Yeah. So then that was the change he did. He ended up leaving his camp. He ended up spending extra money on a strength and conditioning coach, and he came in there ripped, and he was not getting bullied by the bigger Jarrett Hurt.
No, which is amazing because Jarrett Hurt is such a bully in there. You know, we never... Him and Jaime Munguia both had this little, like, meltdown May kind of thing going on. I know it's the second time I brought that up. But, like, where they're... People have finally figured out how to deal with their big, imposing, bullying style. You know what I mean? But Hurd has skills. First of all, let's say there's a fight of the year contender.
Fight of the year contender, man. Jarrett Hurd does it again.
He's always in amazing fights. Yeah. He ends up losing a decision to J-Rock. I knew he was going to lose when he walked out with Redskins colors on. That's where, like, you're not going to win the big fight as a Redskin. What are you out of your mind?
He's the Justin Gaethje of boxing.
Yo, that's a great pick. Even the very similar weight class. He's an incredible fighter, but I just feel like people are starting to figure him out. You know what I mean? This is the fight that Lara thought he was going to have against Hurd, but he wasn't able to make that happen. I think the weight cut also took it out of him. I think he looked drained to me. And I think he might need to move up to 160. And there's a lot of good fights for him at 160. There's a lot of people. You know, 160 is kind of in this place where it needs new blood to start coming in.
The problem that he has is all the fighters that he could fight to make big money in his current promotional company are at 154.
True.
He would actually have to leave his promoter and leave the channel and that nice paycheck he's getting with Showtime to go off to DAZN, hopefully go to DAZN and get something matched in order to move up in weight. Because right now, all the middleweights are in DAZN. So one of the things I actually think is interesting is, do you remember when we started the podcast? We talked about the most underrated and talent-rich division in boxing was 154 pounds. Every week we saw another monster.
Yeah.
And at the very end of it was just Charlo and Hurd. But it didn't mean that these monsters went away. And what did we see? We see Charlo get upset by Tony Harrison, a guy who we've talked very highly of in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
J-Rock, Julian Williams. There's still a lot of scary people in this weight class.
Yeah, there's no easy fights. It's all steak, no sizzle. Everybody is very tough. Everybody has world-class skill. Any of these guys could beat any of these guys on any given night. There is no king at 154. It's a Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's and we got to figure out who the Daenerys is.
And Erickson Lubin's still out there.
He kind of got blown up by those dragons. where do you think... Are we going to be looking at a... Because it was an upset. It was a 7-1 upset somehow. Whoever let the odds get up to 7-1 is out of their mind in the first place. J-Rock is not a 7-1 underdog against anybody. But where do you think these guys are going to go? Are we going to see a rematch?
I think they're going to go rematch. I think they're going to exercise the rematch clause, which is going to suck because I really want to see the unification fight between the winner of Harrison versus Charlo too. And I can actually see if they didn't do that, I have heard whispers of Jarrett Hurd versus Munguia. Those whispers
Damn,
have been out
that
there.
Would be a... What a great fight 6 months ago. You know what I mean? What a great fight 6 months ago because it's crazy. You know, we talked about it. Jaime Munguia, Charlo, Hurd, all these guys that were at the top of this, stumbling, fucking up, pulling these, you know, didos and falling down the mountain. And I don't know if it makes the division more interesting or less interesting. It kind of takes away from the, like, platinum fights that maybe we could have had. But it's kind of like when we got Chuck Liddell versus Wanderlei Silva, and they were both, like, a little bit washed. But it just meant that we got this big sloppy brawl where they were knocking each other down. We might see some really cool stuff out of this.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic.
I'm optimistic as well.
Let's talk a little bit, Jesse, about the slam heard around the world. Suddenly, everybody wants to talk about, are slams okay in MMA because a pretty girl got knocked fucking unconscious with a big giant slam. Jessica Andrade, after getting pieced up in the first round by Rose Namajunas, starts working her way back into the fight, gets to a body lock. Rose tries this, like, Kimura. It doesn't really work out for her. She gets picked up, dropped on the base of her skull, knocked unconscious. What'd you think of the stoppage? What'd you think of the fight?
It was the night of the upsets. I know that Jared Hurd versus J-Rock was a 7-1 underdog winning. What were the odds on Andrade versus Nama Yunus?
I don't know off the top of my head.
They had to be at least 4-1. Nama Yunus was coming into this fight basically as like the new queen of the division. She had beat Ioana twice. She was on top of her game. She beat the karate hottie and made her way into this fight. Andrade, she had lost pretty decisively to Ioana in their title fight. So people did MMA math, and when you do MMA math, it doesn't always work out, and it did not work out in this situation.
Man, I hate to call this a fluke, but this is like... This stoppage kind of feels like when I go home with the prettiest girl in the club. Like, it's not that I'm mad that it happened, but I didn't expect it, and I don't think it'll happen again. You know what I mean? I appreciate that Andrade was working her way back into the fight, and she was doing really well with those leg kicks, really slowing down Rose's movement. But, man, I think Rose just got stupid and lazy in this one position, and it ended up costing her. And I think it was a grit issue as much as anything else.
And what a beautiful ending to a UFC in Brazil after a night of Brazilian after Brazilian just getting demolished. Washed. In their hometown. Just... kids were crying in the audience. There was silence. It was just devastating to the Brazilian people. And then here comes a tiny little 4'11", shaved head.
Little Ruby Rose looking bitch.
Yeah, yeah, comes in there and just pulls a hell of an upset in the main event. And then everyone...
one of the best stoppages of the year.
Yeah.
One of the best like knockouts of the year. Picks her up, drops her on the base of her skull. Not spiking, by the way. To spike somebody in MMA to make it illegal, you literally have to do like a Jerry Lawler pile driver. Like you would have to immobilize their head to a place where they can't move it and then drop them down.
Like a pedigree.
Yeah, pretty much. Because Rose could have let go and protected herself. She chose not to. So it's legal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So Rose kind of fucked herself there. People always talk about you can't get lifted up with that Kimura trap. That's true only to a point. If somebody really beats that angle and gets that body lock, they can elevate and slam you through. They might be in trouble when they land, but they can slam you. You know what I mean? It's like trying to slam your way out of like an armbar or a triangle. You can do it, but if you don't knock the person out, you might only make things tighter.
Does Rose retire after this? She's had neck injuries, and I've heard that rumor there. What is your take on it?
So she's got this Colorado farm she just bought. She's talking about she wants to go do other things. I think that we've probably seen the best of Rose Nama Yunus, I would expect. I hate to say it. She's amazing. She's a top 5 pound for pound, you know, fighter by her resume. Beat Ioana twice. You know, take your pick. She might be the most skilled, talented 115-pound woman we've ever seen in MMA. I think she has reached her peak. I just think that... when the first thing you're talking about, and I get that it's a very emotional time, but when the first thing you're talking about is like, yeah, I'm just so happy that I lost this fight. Like, I don't think that's going to be tough to overcome somebody like Tatiana Suarez. You know what I mean? Who's going to just push your head further and further underwater and make life harder and harder on you. I think she's really looking at some rough stuff because 115 is only getting harder.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm excited actually that Andrade won. And the reason that I'm excited is because this opens up the opportunity for Michelle Waterson to finally be crowned the 115-pound champion.
She has a way better shot against Andrade than she does, but Suarez is waiting in those wings. Do you really want to see Michelle Waterson take on Tatiana Suarez? Because if we see Waterson win the belt, we're also going to have to see Waterson lose the belt at some point. Are you prepared for that emotionally, Jesse? Can you handle that? Will your testosterone levels drop watching that? It's very possible.
Or Karate Hottie might win. She's adjusted to the weight class finally. And I think it's her time, to be honest.
It very well may be. We'll see how 115 plays out. Right now, honestly, good for Jessica Andrade. She's the HBIC in Brazil. She's
HBIC?
Head bitch in charge.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
One person that is no longer the head bitch in charge is Anderson Silva.
No, he's just a bitch now, apparently. Full due respect to Anderson, but yeah, he he gets kicked in the leg a whole bunch of times, doesn't do anything about it. You'd think he would have picked that up after the Chris Weidman thing. And then Jared Cannonier, with the hardest kick, kicks his knee out of place, out of socket, and Silva drops, and the fight's over. Whoever the referee was, by the way, I should have looked it up. Fantastic stoppage. Because he gets dropped with the leg kick, and a lot of refs will kind of like wait to for you to get punched in the head a bunch of times to like earn the TKO. But the ref rightfully stopped it immediately.
I hate when they call things like that an injury.
It's not an injury. No, it's as much as you would throw a punch and knock somebody out. He threw a kick and ended the fight.
Like, that used to piss me off when Tyron Woodley fought against Carlos Condit, and they were like, "Oh, Carlos lost by injury." You mean that leg kick that took out his leg?
Yeah, just call everything. Yeah, he lost the fight by consciousness injury. What do you mean? He got knocked the fuck out. MVP lost by a consciousness injury, a jaw injury, someone punching him in it.
So, Anderson Silva loses to a... Could we call him a gatekeeper? I don't think he's a gatekeeper.
Oh, I mean, at 205, is there a gate? Is it even a gated community? 205 is a ghetto. It's not a gate. It's a great win for Cannonier. Or no, I guess he's at 185. So there is a gate at 185. That's a much
nicer this
community.
Is a guy who's lost to
That's a gentrified community.
He lost to Sean Jordan by knockout.
That's a heavyweight.
In the first round.
That's a heavyweight.
This is a guy who lost to Glover Teixeira.
He's got Cannon in his name. It just sounds cool.
He lost to Jan Blachowicz. And he lost to Dominic Reyes by knockout.
I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm saying 185, this fucker can bang.
He did beat David Branch.
He did beat David Branch, but a lot of people also beat David Branch. David Branch will give up a weird loss once in a while. You know what I mean? David Branch is the gatekeeper. And he beat the gatekeeper. Not for nothing.
He beat the legend. Okay.
He's something.
Can Anderson Silva please retire?
Yo, can half these guys please retire? Could Clay Guida please retire? Clay Guida won this weekend over BJ Penn, who I don't even know if we should get into the BJ Penn stuff. Why is the only fight BJ Penn can win against his wife? He's on the longest UFC losing streak ever. The only fight he can win is against his woman. What the fuck is wrong with this dude? He needs to be in fucking prison or something. I don't know, prison, but like he needs to be going to...
Go
you
into
know,
it.
Something.
What happened with his wife?
I don't even know the full tale, which means I should obviously speak about it on this syndicated podcast. His wife came out with all these allegations that he is physically and emotionally abusive towards his whole family. And that he's... To me, honestly, it sounds like CTE shit. I think you remember all those years where we just watched BJ get whipped in the head. And, you know, we'd look at the punch stats. It's like, God damn, he got hit with 700 punches by, you know, the GSP. But look at his face. He doesn't look like he got hit at all. But he still got, you know, his brain rattled around like a fucking marble. I think it's that. I think him and Matt Hughes should go hang out. I think that's what's up.
Yeah.
We need like a big farm to send all these guys to.
Fight farm.
Yeah, exactly. We need like a big, right upstate, we can send them all to. They can run around and we can give them little like blow up dolls they can beat the shit out of.
You can feed them protein bars through the fence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pet them while they eat. Oh, that's a good ninja hua. How are you? Hey, who's a good guy?
I'd watch that reality show.
Volkanovski beat Jose Aldo very decisively, Jesse. I thought he could win. I did not think he would win that decisively. He really shut down Jose Aldo. And he shut down Jose Aldo in a way similar to how Israel Adesanya shut down Anderson Silva. I mean, it was just a complete systematic understanding of his game that he took advantage of. And that inside low kick, if you're a shorter fighter who wants to use an inside low kick really effectively all the time, that's the game plan. That's the blueprint. He did it better than I've, you know, seen most people ever do it. Fuck yeah.
I think he earned himself a title shot. I think Max Holloway Volkanovski is the fight to make.
No, they're not. They're going with Frankie Edgar.
What?
Yeah, they're going with, they announced it today. Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar is the fight. In a couple months. Yeah, yeah. Mark Henry apparently has been like lobbying the UFC hard as a motherfucker, saying that it should be Frankie Edgar. They've tried to schedule the fight twice. You know, once they had to drop out, once we had to drop out, you know, we both wanted, let's do it. Apparently they went with that. So it should be Volkanovski, but it's not. Isn't that shitty?
It's his last shot.
I get why they're going with Frankie. But it's one last ride. He's coming off a win over Cub Swanson. Before that, he got knocked the fuck out by Brian Ortega. But he got drawn into Brian Ortega's sex magic. That'll happen to anybody.
You know, as a guy, I don't like really recognize who's a good-looking guy. Unless it's like a Sage Northcutt that's obvious. I'm like, it's hard for me to tell who's considered an attractive man. When Ortega walked out to fight against Frankie Edgar, I was at a bar. And it was just a regular, like...
You couldn't tell that he's a handsome dude?
I really couldn't tell. Girls stopped what they were doing and were just salivating. Like, ooh, who's that guy?
Yeah, and hey, by the way, check out his abs. Horrible.
Yeah, he's team got a soft dad body. Yeah.
Team soft body. But team eating Halle Berry's asshole also. So, yeah. I mean, I'm willing to be on both teams.
When you
teams.
Look like that, yeah. You don't need a body.
Yeah, for sure. He has her body. What kind of body does he have? Halle Berry's. That's what he has. Yeah, man. Where were we with that? Volkanovski. We were talking about the Australian motherfucker, and it just ended up with us talking about Brian Ortega's dick. Jose Aldo loses in front of the Brazilian faithful. The Brazil fans really came across his heels all night. But he really just was never able to get anything going. He got really caught up by the fakes and feints of Volkanovski. I didn't know Volkanovski had that kind of movement. I was very impressed by that.
I mean, you got to understand that leading into this UFC, all right, check out what the card looked like. So you had, just before the pay-per-view started, you had Little Nog get knocked the fuck out in the first round. They can tolerate that. That's fine. It's okay. Betch Koheya, who headlined a pay-per-view with Ronda Rousey, so she became a big star. She gets arm-barred. She gets
after
finished.
Missing weight.
Yeah. But they could still kind of deal with that. Thiago Alves, a legend, who headlined UFC pay-per-views, beat Matt Hughes. He gets starched. Okay, we can kind of deal with...
We need to change his nickname from Pitbull to Ant-Man, because he is shrinking. He's doing like a Vitor Belfort shrink down. It is gross. You remember him when he used to fight? He looked like Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now he looks like Jose Aldo or something. You know what I mean? He looks so much smaller. He looks like Henan Barão.
Jose Aldo gets dominated, and then Anderson Silva, the legend, gets knocked out. This was a terrible night for Brazilian fans. This was a horror story. You know what this felt like? This felt like when the Night King came and attacked Westeros, and there was this big final battle where everyone was dominant, and it just seemed hopeless. And at the very end, Arya Stark gets picked up for the chokeslam, and she stabs the Night King with the dagger and ends the war. That's kind of what Andrade's slam of Nama Yunus did for the Brazilians.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good. That's funny. Yeah, she's little, too. She's a little thing. Would you fuck Jessica Andrade?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Why
is that
hot.
Even a question? Would you fuck Lil Nog is the question. Because he got fucked up on Saturday by Ryan Spann, kickboxing
Ryan
homeboy.
Ryan Spann does not even have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it was sad, dude. And for Lil Nog, for a guy who's boxed for a long time, he needs to get the fuck out. He is not getting it done at this level. I know he just won by knockout over Sam Alvey, but this is a very clear sign that he needs to get going. A lot of these guys need to get going. This was a really rough night for a lot of them. However, Bellator on the other side of the street had a fucking awesome night. Bellator, even though it ended on a sour note, there was some very fun stuff all night. Let's talk about the fight that everybody really wants to talk about, which is the Bellator Welterweight Grand Prix. I think the Grand Prix is going really great.
I think it's going fantastic.
It's going. There's good fights.
I'm a huge fan of tournaments.
Same. We've been building up the World Boxing Super Series. We've been talking up the Welterweight Grand Prix. Love it, love it, love it. It's given us a lot of storylines to talk about. Rory McDonald is this, like, listless king of the division. You know, and now we have one of the finalists, Douglas Lima, knocks out MVP in the leading contender for knockout of the year. And I can't imagine it's not going to get it. For me, I would be so shocked if this is not knockout of the year. MVP is doing that dart in, big looping shot that he always loves to do. Because MVP was kind of dominant in that first round.
Yes.
He was doing so well. Lima started to work his way back into the fight. MVP overextends himself trying to earn back that dominance. He gets his legs kicked out from under him. His hands hit the mat. They're not protecting his chin. Lima, out of nowhere, the perfect shot at the perfect time, touches the chin, turns the chin, knocks out the formerly unbeaten MVP, the big crazy superstar. You've seen the videos. You've seen the memes. Jesse, what a fucking knockout.
I think this was a very emotional victory for Douglas Lima, one of the most unappreciated fighters of all time. The guy was the welterweight king of Bellator. He was the guy. But what happened? As soon as any new signing came in, that person got more of the attention. Let's not forget when Ben Henderson came, he was headlining. He was on top of all the news of Bellator. He wasn't even champion. Let's not forget that you also had MVP, who was a contender that they were building up. He was in all the highlight videos. He was where all the marketing was going. And when they signed...
He nearly killed a guy.
Yeah. And Rory McDonald. Rory McDonald, the guy who beat him in a very close fight, is the guy who got all... It was almost a coronation in people's minds. It was almost a past thought that he was going to be the welterweight champion. Douglas Lima never got the appreciation that he deserved. And he finally won the fight that kind of opened up everyone's eyes as, oh, no. This may be the king of the division. This may be the face of Bellator. And I'm going to go out here on the limb and say that if he were to fight a rematch with Rory McDonald, I would favor Lima.
I agree. I think Lima is one of those guys who just found his stride. He is fucking everybody up. You know what I really liked? You know what gave me a lot of confidence about him in this tournament? He knocked out MVP with a highlight reel knockout and then just kind of walked around the cage like, huh, neat. Like, it wasn't a big celebration. It was what he expected to do. And I know that maybe sounds trite and that sounds uneventful or unimportant, but it is, I think, a real window into this guy's mindset. And he's a really smart guy. He's a really tough fighter. He's the guy to watch in this. And whoever comes out of that Neiman Gracie-Rory McDonald fight, I favor Lima against both those guys.
I think the reason it's hard to celebrate a fight like that is because you know you have another big fight after. You won the fight, but you haven't won the tournament, so you can't really get too excited just yet.
Maybe, that could be, but I read it differently. I could be wrong. I could be reading. I'm trying to mind read here. MVP, I don't think he takes too far of a step backwards, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because he fought well. Yeah. It was a good performance from him against a very, very tough guy. You know, a guy that... I would have a top five in the world, you know, and he was looking really fucking good. I wish I should do some top 10 rankings someday. I have like my pound for pound, like at any given time, but I would love to see where I would actually fit Lima into this. Man, he's the guy. He's the guy. If Rory especially doesn't look good against Gracie coming up here at the Hulu Theater, whenever that is, bet big on Lima. I know I am. Jesse, main event time. Questionable stoppage. Patricio Pitbull Ferreira knocks out Michael Chandler. Pitbull knocks out Chandler in the first big looping overhand. I think it was a big looping overhand left. Big barrage of punches. None of the follow-up punches really landed. Chandler really was pretty okay. I thought it was a horrible stoppage. What'd you think?
It was a horrible stoppage, but I think that we know where the fight was going to go. I still think that Chandler, as a warrior, deserved the right to get knocked out. We've seen him go back and forth with Eddie Alvarez, and he's had a couple of questionable losses for whatever reason. But he was going to lose this fight. And big props to Pitbull. He produced one of the greatest post-fight interviews ever. People were booing the decision, people were coming, you know, Chandler's very beloved in Bellator, and he gave one of the greatest promos ever. He's like, what the fuck? Fuck you. Which was one of the...
Good, right. Yeah. I've honestly, you know who needed some of that energy? Cannoneer. Because Cannoneer was getting... Greg Kinnear. He was getting booed out of the fucking building after the Anderson Silva win, and he should have just been like, what? You didn't think I was going to try? You didn't think I was going to fucking knock this guy out? He should have gone after him. Jack Hager did too. Jack Swagger. He turned heel after his thing. He said, I want to be 4-0 by the time Donald Trump gets reelected. He's going big Colby Covington on us. And when it comes to this main event, when it comes to the knockout, now Pitbull is a two-division champion, but they're going to run this Michael Chandler win.
They have to.
They love giving Michael Chandler title shots when he's not the champion. You remember they fed him to Will Brooks twice, and then he fought with Brent Primus, and then he lost the one to Brent Primus, and then he got a rematch with Brent Primus. They'll just keep plugging him in. By the way, he has for sure that big Road Warrior, like HGH, like single ab. You know what I mean? Like he's not a big guy. He's only like 5'6", 5'7". He's not a big 155er, but he is juiced. He's on that Neil Melanson diet. That's his grappling coach, and is also probably his supply.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's
why don't have allegedly.
Been, so that's why allegedly. He's been good enough to be in the UFC, but he's never made it in the UFC.
Man, he wouldn't be elite in the UFC. He's not a Justin Gaethje, you know what I mean, where he would come in and have the biggest splash. I think that he is a little too one-dimensional with his striking. You remember Will Brooks? Will Brooks, he came in. We thought he was going to be hot fire, and he was not. He was hot garbage. So I've never been quite as high on Michael Chandler as everybody else.
Speaking of hot garbage, we have boxing on Showtime this week. And the main event is going to be, it's a very disappointing one. We're going to see one of the greatest heavyweights of our generation, Deontay Wilder, versus a gatekeeper, Dominic Brazil. Kudos to Showtime. This is how they keep money. This is how they make money. So Deontay Wilder was going to go to DAZN and fight the fight that we all wanted to see against Anthony Joshua. He was going to make millions and millions of dollars. So what Showtime did in order to be able to keep their investment is pay Deontay Wilder on the back end a bunch of money to fight Dominic Brazil on Showtime. And so you get an easy fight and a ton of money. Why would Deontay Wilder say no?
It's a slam dunk for Deontay Wilder, who did used to play football. So he did used to do slam dunks, I assume. It's easy money. He's going to knock him out within a couple of rounds. It's straight up. I actually thought he fought Brazil. Who did he fight that he knocked?
Anthony Joshua knocked out Brazil.
Anthony Joshua knocked out Brazil. I think it was Stavern, where he knocked him out with like every single punch he threw.
To be fair to Brazil, Dominic Brazil has earned the right to fight against Deontay Wilder.
Oh, he's earned the ass whooping. Don't get me wrong. Who else are you going to put in there? We talked about it when this fight was signed. We're like, oh, this fight's trashed. Then Fury goes behind the fence, and Anthony Joshua goes into his little corner. Suddenly, this is the best heavyweight fight that we have on the docket, pretty much.
Pretty much.
I mean, you know, not for nothing that I say that as an indictment of the division. But yeah, this is, we went from dummy thick to at best slim thick. At best slim thick, Jesse. I want those dummy thick days back.
What do you think, how much would it rock the heavyweight landscape if Brazil pulls this massive upset?
The memes will be out of control. If Deontay Wilder loses some bullshit upset, the servers on Facebook of black men 35 and older rushing to their statuses to write "I told you so" will be out of control. Like, he's like this old generation of boxing heads, not even 35 and older, fucking 50 and older, just rushing. Oh, no jab, no this, no that. I've never seen someone so good, so derided for their skill. It's rare to see. Because you like it, you hate it. He's pretty fucking good. He's one of the best heavyweights of this generation. He might be number one. He knocked out Luis Ortiz. He went to a draw with Tyson Fury, like it or not. He has earned himself up here. And I think he's going to get the stoppage within three. I think he's going to outperform Anthony Joshua. The only reason I'm picking it that way is because it would make everything even stupider online. And that's my belief. Things are only going to get stupider.
Here's my opinion in this fight. Because this is how both of their fights always go. Dominic Brazil will dominate the early rounds. People will say, oh no, are we going to smell an upset? Then around the fifth or sixth round, it's going to be very evident that that's not the case. And around like the seventh or eighth, we're going to get a knockout by Deontay Wilder.
I think it's going to come even earlier than that. I think it's going to come even easier than that. We'll see what happens. But if you see anybody telling you that Dominic Brazil is going to pull this upset, guys, don't listen to them. Stop listening to them. Tell other people to point and laugh at them. Do things that are mean to them. Tie their shoelaces together. They're a nerd and they deserve it. Homeboy Ivan Baranchik, Jesse, is going to be fighting with Josh Taylor this weekend with some little boy action. I can't wait.
This is going to be a closer fight than people think. Ivan Baranchik.
People have been very high on Josh Taylor.
He's a world-class fighter. He's proven in the past. He's actually the favorite to make it to the final against, what's his name?
Inouye?
Regis Progre.
Oh, Progre, yeah.
And, but Baranchik is not to be slept on. Baranchik's a little bit younger, so he hasn't shown as much in his skill. He's undefeated, and he's a badass. He gets all the respect on the planet. He looked great on his advancement into this fight. I think this is a lot closer than people think, just because I think it's deceiving because Ivan Baranchik is so young that you haven't seen the best of him, but I feel like he's entering into his prime. So at this point, anything that you see is going to be him improving leaps and bounds. Do I think he's going to win this fight? No. I think Josh Taylor will make it to the final. But do I think that there's a high probability of an upset or that this is going to be a very fun fight? Hell yeah, this is the fight to watch.
I think it's going to be a super fun fight. Baranchik has looked really good. This is why these tournaments matter, is because these younger guys have these opportunities that politics can deny them. You know what I mean? There's no running in a line bracket. If you think you're the best, that's great. You have to just beat three, you know, these guys in front of you, and you're going to be the man. And that's the kind of opportunity delivered to Baranchik. Like you say, he's just entering his prime. I think this is the perfect time for him to fight somebody like Josh Taylor.
He has more experience. He's younger. And, you know, he's unbeaten. I mean, there's no reason to believe that he doesn't think he's going to win this fight.
Straight up, he should be coming in with a lot of confidence. I think this is the kind of fight that is going to improve him. I don't think he is going to win, but I think he is going to come out of this as a much better fighter. Than what he's able to do moving forward will be supercharged because of this. But yeah, Taylor's going to be in the finals. Give me a decision somewhere in the 9-3 range, to be honest.
And, I mean, Baranchik, from what I heard, has a phenomenal amateur record. So I'm excited. I don't think he'll win, but I do think that, like you said, this is going to be one of his defining fights where, you know, kind of like the J-Rod Julian Williams fight, depending how he takes his loss, this could actually be the best thing that ever happened in his career.
Straight up. Yeah, like J-Rock with Charlo. You know, J-Rock lost to Charlo, came back way hotter. Let's talk a little bit about... Let's try to talk about Inouye longer than he's going to fight.
You know,
but he has a tough fight coming up. There's a very, very tough fight. Manuel is a world-class fighter. It might be the toughest fight that he has in the entire tournament.
365 days ago, Emmanuel Rodriguez was considered the number two or number three fighter in the weight class. So it was Luis Neri is clearly number one, but he's not in the tournament. It was Tite and Rodriguez was the fight that everyone thought that's either number two or number three. That was a fight people were looking forward to see. That's a fight that was possible in the semifinals. And now he's a massive underdog against a smaller fighter who's moved up in the monster anyway.
But yeah, it's not just any smaller fighter. It's Naoya Inouye, who, Jesse, all he does is eat people's souls. He is Godzilla. He is Mothra. He is putting pee-pee in our Coke. Whatever Asian stereotype you want to throw at him, and I know you know plenty, he embodies that in all the best ways. This guy is a monster. This guy is the terror under 135 pounds.
This is one of those fights that...
Under 130 pounds, because then you have Lomachenko.
I mean, he beat Payano. Payano has never been stopped. Payano is a world-class
tread fighter. Carefully. you might be at a reunion with him.
But then he gets knocked out by Inouye.
Factual.
You've had several fighters with phenomenal defense who have never been stopped. But they went in there with Inouye, and they were knocked out early.
You know what's crazy, too? You see them react to the power even before the knockout, and it's like, holy shit. Like, guys, the first time they get touched, they reset themselves. Like, okay, it's okay. I'm going to be okay. Like, that they don't do that in other fights. This guy has inhuman power. He's like an X-Man. He's like an ant.
I would love to see him. I would love to see him fight against. I would love to see him fight against Donaire in the final.
Yes,
I think that's gonna be fantastic. Because then
he would. You would have to if he fights Donaire, have like a mortician ringside.
But
though.
Here's the thing about Donaire: he's bigger because he's coming down, and he hits freaking hard himself.
Yeah, and he cannot move his head. In a way, will rip open his throat with his teeth. Like the Asians love to do.
And the Luis Neri fight. I would absolutely... That's the fight to make.
There, I'm a little more interested in the Luis Neri fight. But I think as soon as he gets through Rodriguez, who has a really good... Who has a better shot. I think Rodriguez is the toughest guy for him in this tournament. He offers a lot more skill. He offers a lot of really good movement. He's going to give different looks. I don't think it's going to be enough to take him even to the decision. But I think he's going to make it out of the first half of those fights. First half of those rounds. I think like an eighth, ninth round knockout is probably what we're looking at here.
Yeah, the Luis Neri fight is going to be interesting because you get two undefeated young fighters. Luis Neri just turned 24 years old. The guy is a phenomenal fighter, and he's actually made a reputation by beating Japanese legends who are undefeated. So if that's your reputation and you have to go against the monster, I would love to see this fight like in the Tokyo Dome in Japan.
Yo, that would be intense. Have him walk out with, like, Los Ingobernables or something. You know, let's fucking, like, let's go for it.
That'd be hilarious, actually.
That'd be great. Yeah, have him walk out with Evil and Sonata and shit. That'd be fucking what's up. Let's talk about the UFC card that we have this weekend, Jesse. Before we talk about that, did you hear that Anthony Pettis and Nick Diaz got announced?
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great
Nick
fight.
Nate Diaz.
Sorry. Yeah, Nate at 170, Nate versus Anthony. These guys have had bad blood before. I think it's a fucking great
fight.
What
is the bad blood behind it?
I think they've just chirped at each other. It's just kind of thing like they were top five guys at 155, but both for like a long time. And so Nate just had bad blood with all those guys. I think that was just kind of what it was. I think they've been scheduled to fight one time before it got dropped because it's fucking Nate. But yeah, that's the fight they're making. I think it's great coming off of. Anthony has big momentum after that knockout win. Nate has big star power coming off of, you know, 3-year layoff, but he's still well enough known from the McGregor series. Whoever wins is going to get a huge bump. Both guys have big reason to believe that they should win the fight. It's really kind of 50-50. This is good matchmaking. Hats off.
Speaking of good matchmaking, PBC recently announced that it's happening this summer. We're going to have Garcia versus Garcia. Mikey Garcia versus Danny Garcia at welterweight.
Not to use the joke everybody's using, but I got Garcia by decision. No, there's... And Thurman versus Pacquiao has been announced. So, but we've talked about
yeah,
that.
That's happening in June.
Yeah.
So we got some pretty good fights coming on.
It's a good time to be a fight fan. We got a lot of good stuff happening, I feel like. There was another one that got announced. Oh, Cowboy versus Ferguson. Tony Ferguson's coming back.
Amazing fight.
Good fight. Cowboy Cerrone put a quarter in the lie jar, though, because he said, I'm going to take a long time between fights now, and I'm only going to fight for the title, or I'm going to take Conor McGregor. He's going to fight again within the month, and he's fighting Tony Ferguson, who does not have the title and is not Conor McGregor. So, can't trust a cowboy. Not to turn into a country song on you, but... Damn, I should use an Old Town Road reference last week when we were talking about cowboy. Shit. Anyway, let's talk about the UFC main event for this week.
Funny about them is the fact that you have a white guy who got raised by a Mexican stepfather, and then you have a Mexican guy in Tony Ferguson who got raised by a white stepfather. That's why his last name is Ferguson.
That makes sense.
And it's not like Rodriguez or something like that.
It's why he's so often tripping. It's why he tripped and blew his knee out before he fought Khabib the week of the fight. Because these honkies be tripping.
And Cerrone always has that random old Mexican with the mustache. That's his stepfather.
Who's always I thought that was like his spirit animal. Like Jim Morrison style. If you ever saw the movie The Doors.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like he just wanted him around. Let's talk about the UFC from this weekend that's coming up. From Rochester... on ESPN Plus, I think. It is going to be Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom, going up to 170 after he lost in 155 to Ally Quinta. He is going up to take on the former 155-pound champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos coming off two pretty dominant decision losses to Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. He's had a little while before he could get started. Kevin Lee presents a lot of those same wrestling problems that those other guys presented, but he doesn't have the big size advantage that the other guys had. So I think it's a pretty interesting grappling battle. And in terms of the striking, hard to unsee Ally Quinta jabbing up Kevin Lee all night. So I think this is a real good fight. This is a solid main event. I think this is a good chance for Kevin Lee to reinvent himself. You know what I mean?
I think so too. I think this is a... Kevin Lee went through a couple of issues with his life. He went through a divorce. I believe his trainer died. So he's had about a personal issues. So that Ally Quinta fight, I feel like a lot of that has something to do with it as well. I'm not taking anything away from Ally Quinta. He's looked fantastic, but it's going to be very interesting to see if he's been able to overcome those demons in his personal life to see how he's going to look at 170. RDA always fantastic, phenomenal. Father Time is not on his side.
Guess his age.
He's 38.
He's 34. Doesn't he feel like way older? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I agree. But there's less than 10 years difference between these two. But it is his 40th fight, so he has a lot of miles on that tire.
I've always felt like RDA looks like a mix of Frankenstein and Dracula.
With a little bit of Drake for flavoring. Kevin Lee, I think, is going to come out... I think the weight cut affected him a lot. He talked about how the weight cut affected him a lot. He talked about how the weight cut nearly killed him a couple of times, which is a bad thing. So I think it's a good move up. Hopefully it's one of these like Robert Whittaker style move ups. You know what I mean? We've seen a lot of people have a ton of success coming out and moving up weight classes. I think he's going to be the next one to do it. I think he wins this fight. What do you think?
I mean, I look forward to it. I'm really liking 170. I think 170 is the new 155.
It's so good, right? Yeah. 170 is reinvented, especially if, like, not that I like the guy very much, not that I think he's going to be a contender, but if Nate truly is back, that's another guy at 170 that, you know, is a very fun guy.
I would love to see Nate versus Colby Covington.
Yo, the trash talk alone. Who would be the first one to say the N-word? Nah, man, like, listen here, dude, like... Nate talks like he has Down syndrome. No, you see the problem is like...
Him and Nick sound like they have Down syndrome.
Yeah, straight up. Check those guys for... Don't check those guys for like THC and like performance enhancers. Check those guys for chromosomes. Because they have too many. Do you have anything else for the week, Jesse?
Nothing else. Follow me on social media. Jay Rivas on Instagram and Jay Rivas on Facebook.
What's going on this weekend? Maybe
Jay Rivas Comedy on Instagram, sorry.
Maybe this weekend we could do like a live reaction kind of thing. Yeah. Or like Sunday we could do something pretty early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of really exciting stuff going on here at the Fighter's Block. So if you're listening to this, get excited. Tell your friends. We're going to be back soon here on The Block.